Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall.
Welcome back. Richard, yesterday we talked about the moral deficiency versus disease model discrepancy,
right.
Debate.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yep.
And we said that it's not either, it's sort of a both
right.
type of situation.
Both and, right.
Both
mm-hmm.
and, yes. And one of the things we talked about was how there is this biological basis for it,
mm-hmm.
and then there's a choice
right.
involved in choosing
right.
to use a various substance to
right.
deal with that biological basis.
Mm-hmm.
But then that it becomes biological in some ways again.
That's right. It transitions to biological dependence.
Right. Right.
Didn't start out that way.
Right.
You don't. The only people who are addicted at birth would be babies of mothers who use drugs in utero.
Right.
But most of we're not born addicted.
Right. And so today we're going to talk about the difference between chemical dependency and psychological dependency. Because this is where we start getting into some newer prickly stuff.
Right. And please understand that as we gingerly walk through this topic,
right.
there are no clear answers right now.
Right.
Okay. And it requires a thoughtful conversation, especially
mm-hmm.
when we get to treatment
yes.
considerations, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So let's differentiate very quickly. There's a chemical dependence and there's psychological dependence, all right? So chemical dependence first. Let's start with that one?
Yes.
All right, so chemical dependence. When you're using a substance, and again, a substance for any reason,
right.
whether it's an addiction or not, let's just talk about using a substance. When you use a substance, it has an effect on the brain.
Now, when you say substance, do you mean a chemical substance?
A chemical substance.
So
yes.
we're talking about, back to Monday, earlier in the week when we talked about DSM.
Right.
We're talking about substances, chemicals, that you can take.
Right. But the broadly defined substances, meaning food, meaning beverages, meaning drugs, alcohol, it could be any of these things. Because we talk about caffeine, for example, there is a chemical dependence. Any of you who drink caffeine every day,
mm-hmm.
go a day without drinking caffeine and you'll experience a headache or something like that, suggesting this biological response to
right.
the absence of caffeine.
But
so
when you talk about chemical addiction,
right.
You're talking about brain changes.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Chemical brain changes.
Yes.
Yes.
Right.
So you're using a substance. Now, for as intelligent as our brain is, as fascinating as our brain is, there's only so much it can do. It's limited in a variety of ways. And one of the important ways in which it's limited is that it cannot differentiate the
mm-hmm.
source of chemicals.
Right.
So if you, for example, we've talked about GABA
mm-hmm.
Over the course of the week. And this is admittedly simplifying it.
Right.
But
mm-hmm.
the point, hopefully you'll see how this basically works. Our brain makes GABA.
Right.
Based upon the foods that we eat.
Right.
Well, and other biological
mm-hmm.
things. So if you don't have enough GABA, if you're baseline is not enough GABA,
right.
and you start to ingest Xanax, or you start ingesting alcohol, it's
right.
going to increase GABA in your system.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to relax, and you're going to do all that. All right? What happens, though, is your brain says, my goodness, we are making way too much GABA.
We got too much GABA.
We got to cut back.
That's right.
So it starts to decrease the amount of GABA that it's making, that it
right.
produces.
The normal amount of
yeah.
GABA.
It's good. And it does this through the receptor sites and things like that. So it just starts to decrease that. Now, GABA, using that as the example, has this seesaw effect with another neurotransmitter called glutamate.
Right.
And glutamate is an excitatory. So as you become more excited, you become less inhibited. And
right.
as you become more inhibited, you become less excited.
Right.
So they work together,
mm-hmm.
generally speaking. So as you consume a substance, your brain says, my goodness, we're having too much dopamine or too much GABA in this example. And so we're going to cut back on the production of neurotransmitters and receptor sites, which in turn makes the person using the substance have to increase the amount of substance they use to get the same effect.
Get the same effect.
Right. What do we call that?
That's called
tolerance.
Tolerance.
Okay?
Right.
So when you have to increase the amount of a substance that you use to get the same desired effect, we call that tolerance. And that is a indication that your brain is responding by down-regulating or decreasing the amount of it naturally occurring substance in the body.
That's right.
We see this most profoundly with GABA and opiates. You do have some naturally occurring opiates in your body. And so when you're using or abusing opiate drugs, it decreases the amount of opiates that you make. All right? So what happens then is when we stop use, when we cut off alcohol, and when we do so cold turkey, especially, our body isn't, our brain isn't ready for that.
Right.
Our brain has been saying, wait a minute, we've had too much GABA for all this time. We don't have the GABA reserves set. We don't have the number of receptor sites that we need. And so because of that seesaw effect, when you stop alcohol cold turkey or Xanax cold turkey, you are now leaving your brain with very, very little GABA, but excessive glutamate.
But too much. The balance is all thrown off.
And then what happens? Well, everything fires like crazy. And so we get risk for withdrawal symptoms.
Right.
Now, when it comes to alcohol and benzodiazepines like Xanax and things like that, when we have that high amount of glutamate and that very low amount of GABA in our brain, it increases our threshold and risk for seizures.
Right. And heart attacks and all kinds of other problems.
Withdrawal from alcohol, the only drug that we're really talking about that is abused in somewhat of a legal way is really the only one that can kill you.
Right.
Withdrawal from heavy chronic alcohol substance use, alcohol use disorders, can result in seizures that basically keep you from breathing.
Right. No, it's...
And it's all chemical. It is a chemical dependence.
Right.
And that's why, you know, it becomes very dangerous when a person has been using a substance over a chronic period of time or a long period of time. It is really dangerous for them to stop using a substance.
Just stop too quickly.
Yeah.
Because you're going to release this other... The other chemical is going to overwhelm.
Right.
And that's exactly what it overwhelms the brain.
Right.
And creates all kinds of havoc because now you have far too much. Remember earlier in the week we talked about these substances that will create 2 to 10 times more. Well, if you're affecting one, you're going to affect a second because the way our body works is one sends you this way and one sends you in the opposite direction.
Right.
And so if you take away one, the other one has is given an advantage.
Right.
And sometimes those advantages are not very pleasant.
Not pleasant at all. Mm-hmm. So that's how chemical dependence works. Right. And so we get tolerance and withdrawal symptoms as a result of this chemical dependence.
Tolerance and withdrawal, those two terms always go together. When you're talking about substance use, you can put tolerance and withdrawal together.
Right.
Because it's the tolerance that creates the withdrawal.
Right. Those are the pharmacological issues that we talked about on Monday.
Yeah, it's not the... For example, we tell... When patients are put on antidepressants, you know, and they're said, they're told, don't just stop.
Right.
Reduce gradually over time, and the reason is because if you simply stop taking it, you're going to have this powerful effect of the antagonist for that medication.
Right. Yeah,
and so you put yourself at risk by going cold turkey.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
not because you need that drug. You need to modify the effects of the opposite neurotransmitter.
Now, the other side, of course, is the psychological dependence. And this is where we start getting into some a tough area, because this, I think, is where we start talking about these other types of addictions, like cell phone addiction and video game addiction and things like that, because we're talking about a psychological dependence on these things.
And some people, and here we go with this, the semantics of this again. Some people will argue that dependence is this physical, this biological thing, that your brain becomes dependent and you need to have. Okay. What I always envisioned was that you don't get addicted to your cell phone, but you become dependent on them.
Right.
As I read this literature, it's just the opposite.
Right.
Dependence is the physiologic, and addiction is an overuse.
Right.
Okay. And so there is this ongoing confusion with these two terms. Okay.
Right.
So when we talk about dependence, we're talking about dependence. How about this? If you're dependent, you're probably abusing. If you're abusing, you're not necessarily dependent.
I have to think about that one a little bit.
That's what.
Yeah, that's what this article that we're from.
But it depends. But again, you can read five articles.
Right.
You can read five places, different organizations, and they're going to treat these a little bit differently.
Okay. Yes.
So again, be patient while we unravel all of this and try to make sense of it.
Right. And I think that this is why we are talking about it using the same word dependence, but talking about it as a chemical dependence versus a psychological dependence. Because if you take a person who uses plays video games, 15 hours a day, all right, and you take the video games away from them, they're going to have a reaction to that. They're going to have irritability, they're going to have frustration, which some people will refer to as withdrawal symptoms.
So would you say they've been abusing the video game?
There are those who would say that they've been abusing the video games, yes,
right,
overusing it.
Now remember, we're not talking about a substance abuse.
Right.
We're talking about they're abusing it because they're using it to excess.
Right.
Okay. And so, yes, they're abusing it.
Mm-hmm.
Are they addicted?
And that's where we start splitting things because, as we were saying a moment ago, some of the criteria for addiction is the idea of tolerance and withdrawal.
Well, of dependence.
Right.
Is tolerance and withrawal.
Right.
Right.
That then goes to the diagnosis of an
addiction.
A substance use disorder or use disorder.
Right, right. So what we're talking about with a video game, we're not talking about dependence.
Right.
We don't think we
chemical
are.
Chemical dependence.
Right. Because we're not talking about tolerance and withdrawal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
right.
So we're not talking about dependence, but we are talking about abuse.
Right.
Right? Okay.
Right. So it is a very difficult, and I'm going to, I've put it out there before. I do just sort of from a philosophical perspective, I think I have a problem with referring to some of these things as addictions. But I don't think it's global. I think that we use it too loosely.
Use what?
The term addiction.
The term addiction, right.
We use it too loosely. Are there people who are addicted to video games or cell phones? Sure, absolutely. Yes.
They are?
There are those. But it's not as prevalent as we use the terms.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yes, there are those who use it way too much. They use it at the sacrifice of other things. They use it in a way that impairs functioning in different ways. Yes, that all of that can happen with people.
Mm-hmm.
But let's use an example of what we've talked about. I've talked about my son before, and we'll use him as an example. Or we could talk about your daughter. My son will plays a lot of video games. When I got up this morning at 4 o'clock to come into the office to record these podcasts this morning, he was still up playing.
He was up from the night?
He was still
oh
up from
gosh.
The night playing video games.
He brings a whole new definition to the term owl.
However, he's making straight A's in school.
Right.
He's a junior in high school taking college, half of his classes are college classes.
Right.
He's doing all these things. There is no impairment in functioning. And so could we say he's abusing it? Probably. He's overusing it.
Okay.
But is it a disorder? Is it an addiction? I don't think so. I don't think that's an addiction. Your daughter enjoys use of her cell phone. But
understatement.
But how did she? How were her grades last semester?
They were good.
Okay. How are her social relationships?
Good.
How is her tennis
going?
Right. Everything else is going fine. So it's not an addiction if you are, even if you're overusing things, but you're still functioning. It's not an addiction based upon the definition of addiction.
Okay. This brings two points. I hope I can remember both of them. The one is when people try to define addiction mm-hmm. by the number of drinks you drink or the amount of alcohol that you drink, which has nothing to do with addiction.
Nothing.
I have very low tolerance for mm-hmm. alcohol. Other people have enormous tolerance for alcohol. They are no less functional than I am.
Right.
They drink more than three times what mm-hmm. I drink. They drink 10 times what I drink every week. They work, they have a house, they have a family, they do everything they're supposed to do.
Right.
So it's not the amount.
Right.
It's the effect.
Right.
All right. The second point is, how do you clarify when somebody says, my daughter's addicted to her cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say to that? It's not an addiction. It's abuse,
mm-hmm.
but not addiction.
Right.
What you mean is she's using it too much. She doesn't have an addiction.
Right.
She's abusing it.
Right. She may be using it more than you would like for her to use it.
That's right.
And so then we get into, so then we develop interventions that are specifically related to the amount of use of that substance.
And I think that's where the rubber meets the road here, is when we get to what do we do about it.
Right.
If your child is addicted, that conjures up a whole list of interventions that you probably don't need.
Right.
What you're really saying is, she's using it to excess.
Right.
Okay. And that's a whole different set of interventions.
Right. Because if we went back to our kids, my son and your daughter, would you say that your daughter would need to go to rehab?
No. Right. No. I mean, that's what I'm saying. She doesn't need to go to rehab.
Exactly.
She doesn't need to start taking Suboxone or some other drug to prevent herself or to limit her cell phone use.
I remember we spoke with the gentleman in Thailand. Thailand? Wasn't he in Thailand? Who has
the addiction center. He's from England, but he lives in Thailand.
He talked about one of the new areas that they're really getting a lot of patients from mm-hmm. is the area of video game addiction.
Right.
I could not imagine there would be no need for my son to have to go to a treatment facility mm-hmm. for video game addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I will concede that it is likely that there are those who need that. So there may be those out there who are so consumed by their video games mm-hmm. that perhaps it does alter their brain. Perhaps it does have an effect on their brain such that without it, their brain doesn't respond very well and it isn't functioning adequately. Perhaps that's the case.
You and I both have families.
Mm-hmm.
When they ask their children to turn off the video game,
mm-hmm.
they get a violent...
Right.
Maybe we are talking about something else.
Right.
You know, if a child is reacting violently with violent aggression,
mm-hmm.
When you ask them to turn off the PS4, 5, 7, 4... when you turn off the PS4, we may be looking at a zebra now and not a horse.
Right. And so we first rule out behavioral issues. We rule out, you know, parenting inconsistencies, mm-hmm. and we rule out some of those kinds of things. But mm-hmm. yes, then that may be an indication that we're moving in that direction.
And in fact, there is a psychiatrist who says that we should give them a fast.
Right.
She recommends to her patients that we give these kinds of children a 30-day fast.
Right.
And she says to give the brain a chance mm-hmm. to settle down and to rewire and get back to normal.
Right. So I think that, and I think that these things that we're talking about here are things that differentiate between the chemical dependence that we see with substances.
That's right.
And the psychological dependence we have when we become obsessed with something or we become hyper-focused on something.
Right.
We want it. We don't need it.
That's right.
Want it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that psychological dependence, and I am not in any way trying to diminish the powerful effect mm-hmm. of psychological mm-hmm. dependence, because we know that that is a very powerful thing. But I think that to me, is a massive difference.
And another demarcation here might be, if my child is addicted to opioids,
mm-hmm.
and she suddenly stops.
Yeah.
That's life-threatening.
Yeah.
If her cell phone dies, she'll tell me she's going to die without it. Right. You know, I'll die if I don't have it. Right. She doesn't mean that literally.
Right.
I'll die if I don't have my opioids,
mm-hmm.
or my Xanax or my alcohol.
Right.
But you're not going to die if you don't have your cell phone.
Right.
So we use the term addiction to describe both, mm-hmm. when in fact they are quite different.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we want to, you know, as the year progresses, mm-hmm. we're going to keep an eye on what's happening with this whole discussion about the new categories of addiction that's right. going to be proposed and discussed mm-hmm. in the literature. And we'll kind of keep you up to date with it. But as of where we sit today, you know, right. this is sort of our perspective mm-hmm. Of these things. And, you know, again, whether it's an addiction or not, some intervention or response is needed for many mm-hmm. of these, mostly kids, teenagers who have issues with video games and electronics in general, but I think that I'm just always on the side of being cautious before referring to it as an addiction.
And another point we might add here is that when we talk about dependence and we talk about tolerance and withdrawal, you don't really have tolerance with video games. They don't keep playing more. I mean, right. you know, there's no way to.
Yeah.
Because once they fill up the hours, they can't take more.
Right.
Okay, so you're not really developing tolerance mm-hmm. in mm-hmm. that sense. Okay, right. And also when you take it away, you have a behavioral response because, right. but you also, on this eve, on this week where we're trying to keep our New Year's resolutions, mm-hmm. it's hard to give up anything.
Right.
I mean, if you've stopped eating carbohydrates,
right.
You're taking away something that you really mm-hmm. like. That's the kind of
right.
what we're talking about. We're not talking about withdrawal symptoms. Right. We're not talking about seizures and heart attacks and the possibility that you could die from taking right. away the video game. Yes, there'll be a response, but it's mm-hmm. not withdrawal.
Right. right. Absolutely. So, all right. That is it for today. Tomorrow, we're going to wrap up the week talking about the four types right. of substance abusers. So mm-hmm. that will be here tomorrow.
Right.
So, all right, until then, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid. Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We'd be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning. Thank you.